we present Farewell, My Lovely by Raymond Chandler. Dramatized in three parts by Bill Morrison. Starring Ed Bishop as Philip Marlowe. Farewell, My Lovely. Part 3.
I'd been hired by a man called Lindsay Marriott to be his bodyguard while he made a payoff to a mob who wanted a ransom to return a stolen jade necklace worth $90,000 to Mrs. Lewin Lockridge Grail, whose husband was worth $20 million. Marriott was a blackmailer and the finger man for the mob. Now he was dead. Mrs. Grail liked me. She wanted me to help her. Lieutenant Randall didn't like me. He wanted me to help him. In fact, he was insisting on it.
Here's how it works, Marlowe. It's what you private eyes are up against in police work. You see, we get all the homicide reports. We're supposed to read them the same day. I didn't get around to some until this morning. Then I read one about a killing of a Negro at Florian's by a tough ex-con called Moose Malloy and sink my putt if you weren't the witness. And Lieutenant Nulty is in on it. So I know the case is a flop. So I called Nulty, and he hemmed and hawed and spit a few times, and then he said you had an idea about some girl called Velma, and you went to see the widow of the guy that used to own Florian's, and her address was West 54th Place, trustee Lindsay Marriott. So I thought that was enough coincidence for one morning. And here we are. And so far, I've been pretty nice about it. I haven't said a word about withholding evidence. Not yet.
Well, the trouble is, it looks like more than it is. This Velma girl is dead.
You wouldn't be holding out on me, Marlowe.
I saw Moose Malloy last night in a private hospital for dope and liquor cures, run by a man named Sonderborg. Last night I had a crazy idea about going down there today and try and bust it alone.
Malloy was out of there 10 minutes after you left. You can bet on it. I'll have a state narcotics man go down there with a fake complaint and ask to look around.
Why not ask the Bay City cops?
Hey, Bay City is Lurt Brunette's town. He bought it all complete. Gave it to himself for a Christmas present. We're here.
I think we should talk to the woman next door first. Old Nosey poked her nose outside the front door and sniffed carefully as if there might be an early violet blooming. Randall and I took our hats off. In that neighborhood, that probably ranked you with Valentino.
Good morning, Mrs. Morrison. Can we step inside a minute? This is Lieutenant Randall from headquarters.
Thanks. Come in. Come inside. She didn't get a registered letter. Saturday was the first of the month. She run out and called to the mailman. He shook his head and went on. She was mad. Sunday, she went out for liquor, and today...
Today, the mailman dusted on past again. This time she was really sore.
Kind of a smart guesser, ain't you? Can't wait for folks to get their mouths open, hardly.
So, Mrs. Florian didn't get her letter today.
Right. And there was people there last night in a car. I didn't see the number.
Mrs. Morrison, how many mail deliveries a morning are there?
Just the one.
Maybe you shouldn't claim to know everything, Mrs. Morrison.
We didn't need to go there to know what we would find. It was done with just a pair of hands. But what a pair of hands. The moose had taken hold of Jesse Florian's neck just once. Then he shook her. She couldn't tell him who got the reward for turning him in. Randall started checking. Amthor and the Indian had left town. The house in Bay City was cleaned out and empty. Randall told me to let it lay. So I got the car out and drove down to Bay City. City Hall was a cheap-looking building for so prosperous a town. John Wax, chief of police, was far from cheap.
Trouble, Mr. Marlowe.
Trouble is something our little city don't know much about.
I guess I brought mine with me, Chief.
I'm not here without backing. I have important people behind me.
How far behind?
How far is Astor Drive, where Mrs. Lewin Lockridge Grail lives? Mrs. Grail happens to be my client.
Lock the door. You're a younger man than I am. You'd better be on the level, Marlowe. Hello. Can I speak to Mrs. Grail, please? This is the chief of police. We'll make a friendly start on this thing, Marlowe. Good afternoon, Mrs. Grail. I have a gentleman with me, a Mr. Marlowe. Do you know him? Yes. She wants to talk to you.
Thanks. This is Phil.
What are you doing with that fat slob?
Is there anything new? I guess you know what I mean.
Are you aware, my good fellow, that you stood me up the other night?
I ran into trouble. How about tonight?
Tonight is... What day of the week is it, for heaven's sake?
Friday.
Liar. It's Monday. Same time, same place. No fooling this time.
I'd better call you.
Hard to get. Perhaps I'm a fool to bother.
As a matter of fact, you are.
Why?
I'm a poor man, but I pay my own way.
All men are the same. Be there, Phil.
So, it's like that. Sam Galbraith in here. Unlock the door.
Yes, sir.
Galbraith will take good care of you.
You wanted me, Chief.
Meet Mr. Marlowe.
Why, Hemingway?
Yeah. Look after him, Galbraith. A personal favor for a friend.
You've certainly been very obliging, Chief. I certainly don't know how to thank you.
Welcome to Bay City, Mr. Marlowe.
Ah, you played that one smart, Valley. You must have got something we wasn't told about. What do you want?
What's Sonderborg's racket?
I don't know. If we did, we would never have dumped you there. You wouldn't have ever come out, not walking. But maybe Blaine knew. You ever think of that?
There's a drug called scopolamine, truth serum. I think I was being milked to find out what I knew. But I don't think Moose Malloy knew I was there.
I can't even see your dust. Who the hell is Moose Malloy?
He's on your teletype for a killing. Sonderborg was hiding him.
Oh, crook hideout for hot boys. Get it figures. I thought he was peddling reefers, just a peanut grift.
Who runs this town?
Why do you want to know?
I heard a gambler named Laird Brunette put up 30 grand to elect the mayor so he could float two gambling ships.
Hey, look out the sea. I never seen those two ships move.
Where would you make for if you lost your hideout in this town?
Them ships are Panama Registry. They're supposed to be outside city and state jurisdiction. You gonna get tough in our town?
Not me, Hemingway. Not me.
The reflection of a red neon light glared on the ceiling. When it made the whole room red, it would be dark enough to go out. Outside the hotel, cars honked along the alley they called the Speedway. It got darker. The glare of the red neon sign spread further across the ceiling. I needed a drink. I needed a lot of life insurance. I needed a vacation. I needed a home in the country. What I had was a coat, a hat, and a gun. I put them on and went out of the room. I rode the little sidewalk car out to the ocean. Out to sea, they turned on the lights in the gambling boats. The black piers glittered their length and then disappeared into the dark background of night and water. I walked around and tried to see if anybody walked behind me in a particular way. Then I took the water taxi. It was a long, smooth, even swell with just the right amount of heave to make me glad I hadn't pickled my dinner in bar whiskey. The Montecito began to sneak out of the night towards us. It was a converted seagoing freighter. Its landing stage lit up like a theater marquee. A lazy searchlight beam swept the circle about 50 yards from the ship.
Welcome to the Montecito. Just up the steps, ladies and gentlemen, you find all your favorite casino games. Roulette, blackjack, Jimmy the Third. Excuse me, sir. Could you wait a moment, please, sir?
What's under the arm? No catch on the boat, laddie. Sorry and all that rot.
I'd say just part of my clothes. I could check it. I'm a fellow wants to see Brunette on business.
Never heard of him. We're not in Bay City now, not even in California. And by some good opinions, not even in the USA. Beat it.
I was back on dry land. They even gave me back my fare.
What's the matter, partner? No soap on the hell ship?
Go darn your shirt.
The gab is kind of bulgy.
Now what pulls your nose into it?
You got the wrong approach. Just call me Red.
Step aside, Red. The best people make mistakes. I feel one crawling up my back.
If you want to get on board the Monty, it can be done. If you got a reason.
How much?
$50. 10 more if you're bleeding my boat.
Forget it.
25. If you come back with friends.
I don't have any friends.
What's your racket? Private eye?
Yeah.
No expense account?
What's your racket?
I was on the cops here once. They broke me, so I just hang around here now. But I'm still a cop. You know what I mean?
You know a man named Brunette?
You want to fix him? I'm your man. Okay, here's how it works. There's a pier down the line without lights. I got a boat there. I know a landing port on the Monty I can open up. I take a load out there once in a while.
I have a searchlight. And look out.
Well, we can make it. One way.
Now, let's get going. I don't want this fog to blow away.
We're in range. We'll make our move when the searchlight sweeps past again. Or do you want to go back?
No.
Okay. So far, so good. Can you see the loading doors?
I see them.
Okay. See if you can catch this rope.
I got it.
Right. There, that should hold us. Now, we got to climb these plates.
I can hardly wait.
I'll go first and get the door open. There are rungs bolted to the hull just here. Boost me up.
Okay.
Okay. I'm there. Jesus, that's a noise. Nobody heard us. Come on up. Okay, here. I got your arm.
Okay.
Two more rungs. Up. In we go. Now, it's a straight walk to the boiler room catwalk. There'll probably be only one guy there. The crew doubles in brass up on the play decks. From the boiler room, I'll show you a ventilator with no grating. A ladder in it goes up to the boat deck. Now, the boat deck is out of bounds. Will you come back fast?
I ought to make a good splash from the boat deck. I think this rate's more money.
You don't owe me nothing more, partner.
I'm buying the trip back. Handle the body as if it was your own.
I think you're scared.
I'll get over it. One way or another.
Now, I'll handle the guy below. That'll clear the way for you. Now, before we go, this open loading port here, it might buy you a break if you need to tell about it later. And I don't mind if you use it. Okay, let's go.
The wet air was as cold as the ashes of love. It seemed a long way to the top of the ventilator. Then, through the higher layers of fog, I saw a few bitter stars. There were two men behind a machine gun mounted to the boat rail. They didn't see me get out. They didn't have to. All the time, he was standing right behind me.
Sorry, guests are not allowed on the boat deck.
Oh, I guess I'm lost.
I guess you are. You come with a party?
A very nice party.
He ought to have stayed with them.
Well, you know how it is. You turn your head and some other guy is buying her a drink.
That gun won't buy you anything. You'll never get off the boat.
You're a brunette.
Of course. Let's go below to the play deck.
Now, who are you?
That's my card.
What do you want, Marlowe?
To talk to Moose Malloy. I'm investigating a murder. Two murders.
Suppose you tell me how you got on my boat.
Malloy was hiding out in Bay City with a Dr. Sonderborg. Malloy is hard to hide.
I'm in another business. How did you get on my boat? You don't leave if you don't tell me.
If I tell you, will you get word to Malloy?
What word?
I'll write a message for him on the card.
I don't make you out. You risk your hide to come out here to hand me a message to pass on to a thug I don't even know. There's no sense in it.
I met a guy. He brought me out and showed me a loading port that's left open from the inside. You ought to check on your crew. Somebody's cheating you.
Too bad nobody named Malloy is on this boat when you just played your ace, Marlowe.
Can you still get him the message?
The things I do. And the things they say I do. I run towns, I elect mayors, I corrupt police, I peddle dope, I hire out crooks, I heist jewels. What a lot of time I must have. But, Marlowe, I do have a few contacts. Thanks for telling me about the loading port. It'll buy you a launch back to the shore and whatever else I can do.
I went back and paid Red off. He was another big man I had strangely liked. Then I drove home and called Mrs. Grail.
Is this another stand-up, Marlowe?
How about dropping by to pick me up?
Should I really bother?
I'll show you my etching.
Just one etching?
It's a single apartment.
Don't act so hard to get. But wait for me.
There was nothing left but prayer. I slipped the catch and let the doors unlocked. I laid out glasses and a bottle of liqueur scotch I had been saving for a really high-class seduction. I lay down on the bed. I fell asleep.
Marlowe. Marlowe.
Malloy.
I got your note. I make this joint clean. I don't make no cops outside. But if this is a plant... Two guys goes out in baskets.
No copper knows anything about this. I just wanted to see you.
I'll put the gun down. Hey, you ain't sick or anything.
No, I had a hard day.
Door was open. Hey, you expecting someone?
A dame.
What dame?
Just a dame. If she comes, I can get rid of her.
Well, what made you think I was on the ship?
A Bay City cop.
Bay City cops after me.
Would that bother you?
A lot.
You killed Jesse Florian. That was a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd drop that one if I could. You take some awful chances, brother.
The way I've handled it, I don't know the difference anymore. You wanted her to tell you something.
Well, it's too late. Well, ain't it too late?
I know what you wanted her to tell you.
Yeah? But when do we do what you said on the card? I had a hunch you were leveling. Well, I wouldn't take the chance to come here otherwise. Where do we go? Hey, you get it. Be smart.
Who is it?
It's the Duchess of Windsor. Open up.
Go in the next room. Wait.
I'm coming.
Okay, okay.
Come in, Mrs. Grail.
You take your time. You're not dressed to go.
I get the picture. Let's understand each other. I'm not this much of a pushover. There was a time in my life when I had too much of it. I like things done with an air.
Will you have a drink before you go?
Am I leaving?
You gave me the impression you didn't like it here.
I wanted to make a point, honey. Do I have to be a little vulgar to make it? I am not one of these promiscuous bitches. I can be had, but not just by reaching.
Okay.
I'll take a drink. I liked you a lot, but I could get over it. Most men are just lousy animals. In fact, it's a pretty lousy world.
Money must help.
You think it's going to when you haven't always had it? As a matter of fact, it just makes new problems.
I wouldn't know.
No. Not the way you live, honey. Let's get comfortable.
Well, let's talk a little first.
About what?
About murder.
Len Marriott was no saint, but I still don't want to talk about it. Not now.
I don't think he was working for a jewel mob at the time, either. I don't think he was going to that canyon to buy a jade necklace. I don't think the necklace was ever stolen. I think he went to that canyon so he could be murdered. He thought he went there to help commit a murder.
And who was he supposed to murder?
Me.
Why?
I was trying to trace a singer named Velma. That was the reason Marriott was given. But there was a stronger motive for murdering Marriott.
Have you any proof of all this?
I didn't say I had. I said I thought these things. Now let's quit kidding. We're all alone here. Just my word against yours. A girl who started it in the gutter. She gets lucky and makes a little sudden money. It buys her enough class to catch a millionaire. She gets a whole new life. But to keep it safe, an old woman has to be kept quiet. That wasn't so hard. She was cheap. But the man who helped to keep her paid off, the man who held the deed on her house, he was expensive. That didn't have to matter, so long as nobody else knew. But one day, Moose Malloy was going to get out of jail.
How did you meet him?
It was none of my business. You know what makes it funny? The big sap loved his little Velma, and he still does. So then I started nosing around. Marriott was the weak link. He would have melted under heat. So he was murdered. By you, Velma. All she did was take her hand out of her bag with a gun in it. All she did was point it at me and smile. All I did was nothing. But that wasn't all that was done.
I listened to that voice for 8 years. All I could remember of it. You can't change the sound, babe. I kind of liked your hair red, though. Hiya, Velma. Long time no see.
Stay away, Moose.
I never thought. It just came to me. It was you. You turned me into the cops. You. The little Velma.
The bullets made no more sound when they hit him than fingers going into a glove. Then she turned the gun on me.
God damn!
Moose.
Val! No!
It took 4 men to get him onto the stretcher. He died that night. Velma was gone. They wouldn't believe Grail hadn't helped her get away. But money wasn't hiding her at all.
Although the way she hid was pretty obvious once it was found out. One night, 3 months later, a Baltimore detective with a camera eye as rare as a pink zebra wandered into a nightclub and listened to the band and looked at a handsome black-haired torturer who could sing like she meant it. Something in her face struck a chord, and the chord went on vibrating. He went back to headquarters and got out the wanted file. Then he straightened his straw hat and went back to the nightclub. He had a good eye, but he had over-specialized. He didn't know enough about women. She stood up and grabbed her bag and got her coat from a hanger. She went over to him, holding the coat out so he could help her into it. He stood up and held it for her like a gentleman. She slipped a gun out of her bag and shot him 3 times through the coat. She had 2 bullets left in the gun when they crashed the door. They got halfway across the room before she used them. The second shot must have been pure reflex. They caught her before she hit the floor, but her head was already hanging by a rag.
The dick lived until the next day. That's how we have the dope. I can't understand him being so careless unless he was thinking of letting her talk him into a deal. That would clutter up his mind. But I don't like to think that, of course.
I suppose you wouldn't.
You know something else? She was stupid to shoot the dick. We'd never have convicted her. Not with her looks and money and the persecution story these lawyers would have built up. Poor little girl from a dive, clients to be wife of rich man, and the vultures that used to know her won't let her alone? She did a smart thing to run off on her own and leave Grail out of it. But it would have been smarter to have come home when she was caught.
Oh, you believe now she left Grail out of it?
Yeah.
You think she had any particular reason for that?
I'll go for it. Whatever it is.
She was a killer, but so is Malloy. And he was a long way from being all rat. Maybe that Baltimore dick wasn't as pure as the record shows. Maybe she saw a chance not to get away. She was tired of dodging by that time. But to give a break to the only man who had ever really given her one.
Hell, she didn't have to shoot a cop to do that.
No, I'm not saying she was a saint. But what she did and the way she did it kept her from coming back here for trial.
Huh?
Think that over. Who would that trial hurt most? Who would be least able to bear it? And who, win, lose, or draw, would pay the biggest price for the show?
Grail.
Right. An old man who loved not wisely, but too well.
Ah, that's just sentimental.
Sure. It sounded like that when I said it. I said goodbye to him. I had a date with Ann Reardon. I rode down to the street floor and went out onto the steps of City Hall. It was a cool day and very clear. You could see a long way, but not as far as Velma had gone.
That was the final episode of Farewell, My Lovely by Raymond Chandler. Dramatized for radio by Bill Morrison with Ed Bishop as Philip Marlowe. Production for the BBC was by John Tiedemann.